Thank you. You may be seated. Take your Bible tonight, if you will. Open it to the book of 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 1. Lord willing, we're going to begin and preach through the book of 2 Samuel. I've preached through in times past 1 Samuel. And I kind of enjoy preaching through a book. Sometimes it helps me to preach things that maybe I ordinarily wouldn't preach. And it keeps me from getting stuck on preaching just what I like to preach, you know. Because every preacher has things he likes to preach, and I'm the same way. But it'll help us tonight, too, because all of the Bible's good, right? All of it is good, and it's got something for us. There's even something for us in those begats, and so there is something there, right? Sometimes you have to look a little closer to find it, but there is something there for us. So 2 Samuel chapter 1, let's begin looking verse 1. Now it came to pass after the death of Saul, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Amalekites, and David had abode 2 days in Ziklag. It came even to pass on the third day that, behold, a man came out of the camp from Saul with his clothes rent and earth upon his head. And so it was when he came to David that he fell to the earth and did obeisance. And David said unto him, "From whence comest thou?" And he said unto him, "Out of the camp of Israel am I escaped." And David said unto him, "How went the matter? I pray thee, tell me." And he answered, "That the people are fled from the battle, and many of the people also are fallen and dead, and Saul and Jonathan his son are dead also." And David said unto the young man that told him, "How knowest thou that Saul and Jonathan his son be dead?" And the young man that told him said, "As I happened by chance upon Mount Gilboa, behold, Saul leaned upon his spear, and lo, the chariots and horsemen followed hard after him. And when he looked behind him, he saw me and called unto me, and I answered, 'Here am I.' And he said unto me, 'Who art thou?' And I answered him, 'I am an Amalekite.' He said unto me again, 'Stand, I pray thee, upon me and slay me, for anguish has come upon me, because my life is yet whole in me.' So I stood upon him and slew him, because I was sure that he could not live after that he was fallen. And I took the crown that was upon his head and the bracelet that was on his arm, and have brought them hither unto my lord." Then David took hold on his clothes and rent them, and likewise all the men that were with him. And they mourned and wept and fasted until even for Saul and for Jonathan his son, and for the people of the Lord and for the house of Israel, because they were fallen by the sword. And David said unto the young man that told him, "Whence art thou?" And he answered, "I am the son of a stranger, an Amalekite." And David said unto him, "How wast thou not afraid to stretch forth thine hand to destroy the Lord's anointed?" And David called one of the young men and said, "Go near and fall upon him." And he smote him that he died. And David said unto him, "Thy blood be upon thy head, for thy mouth hath testified against thee, saying, 'I have slain the Lord's anointed.'" The book of 2 Samuel does not begin on a high note. Everything but that. It really finishes off the story of King Saul and his reign over Israel. I'll remind you, Saul was man's king. It was man's choice, all right? You said, "No, wait a minute. God told him, God told Samuel to anoint Saul," and he did. But it was the choice of the people to have that king, all right? So don't forget that. And the truth of the matter is, Saul failed more than he succeeded, all right? But 2 Samuel also gives us then the account of David, who was God's choice for king. And unfortunately, his story is not without failure either. If we don't learn, if you can read 2 Samuel and don't learn anything else, you at least know this. It doesn't matter who you are, whether you're a king or you're in the king's family, they have problems, just like everybody else does, all right? Just like everyone else. Whether you're in the king, you're in his family, or you're the pauper or the son of a pauper, we have troubles, we have problems, all right? Now, whereas Saul failed more than he succeeded, I believe David succeeded more than he failed, all right? And God used him. The Bible tells us, talking about David, describes him as a man after God's own heart. And As we go through the book of 2 Samuel, you'll see the difference one person can make. Sometimes we get the idea, I can't make any difference. But you can. But you can. One person can make a huge difference if that one person wants to. But you have to apply yourself, all right? Now, there's going to be a lot in the book to help us because the things that happened to them served as an example for us. For us. Now, I want you to look with me this evening at these 16 verses we've read. I want you to think about this. Have you ever done something and have it come back to cause you problems? You know, you did something and it may have been a good little ways down the road, but it came back to cause you problems, all right? Sometimes we say it came back to bite me, all right? Well, in these text verses, there's two good examples of that kind of thing happening to two men. Their experience can help us. I want to preach to you about when life come back to bite you, okay? Just a little bit, because it can do that. And the first one is Saul himself. Saul himself, his disobedience came back to bite him. His just plain old disobedience. Look, disobedience to the word of God is sin. Don't forget it. And you can be sure, as the Bible said, your sin will find you out. I don't care who you are, don't care where you live, your sin will do that. You say, well, how do you figure that was Saul's disobedience? It's kind of interesting. Go back to 1 Samuel chapter 15, would you? 1 Samuel chapter 15, just take a look here at what happened. It just, and when we read it and look at it, you'll go, sure, yeah, I know that. And it's not news, but in chapter 15 of 1 Samuel, in verse 3, Samuel is giving instruction from God to Saul. And he says this in verse 3, now go and smite who? Amalek. And utterly destroy all that they have. Spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. God told him through the prophet Samuel, you go destroy them. The Amalekites were the enemies of God. They had been the enemies of God. And boy, they've been a thorn in their flesh. And so God said to Saul, you go destroy them, all right? So he went out against them. But the problem is he did not destroy them. He didn't do it. This is that situation where I remind you, he saved the king Agag alive, brought him back to Israel. And he saved what he said, well, we saved some of the best of the sheep and the oxen. And we brought them back because we're going to sacrifice them into God. And that's where we find the famous or well-known quote from Samuel where he said, to obey is better than sacrifice, all right? To obey God. This thing of obedience is such an important thing. Obedience can help to insulate us from future trouble. Future trouble. We sometimes don't see that, all right? I deal with kids. We deal with kids a lot. And man, I can watch them and see their disobedience, what it happens to them because of that disobedience. But man, if you'll just obey, it'll help insulate you. Just as disobedience can come back to bite you, so obedience can come back to bless you. If we just learn the difference in the two. Just learn to do what God says. You know, doesn't that sound simple? Just do what God says. But let's take it back to your childhood days. Just do what your parents say. That's not hard, right? But I'm not going to ask you how many struggled with it. Because if we do, in all honesty, I think every hand go up. We just, here it is, very simple thing. Just do what I tell you to do. If you'll just do what I tell you to do, it'll be so simple. And we sit and we nod our heads in agreement. And here we are, we're not kids anymore. But sometimes we still don't do that. We don't just do what God says. Well, because of Saul rejecting the word of God, the Bible tells us God rejected him from being king. He said, that's it. It cost him at the time of his disobedience, when he disobeyed, Samuel came and he said, you know, what meaneth that lowing of the cattle that I hear? Oh, yeah, that's just stuff we brought back to sacrifice. All right, and no problem there. And it cost him then, but it cost him at the time. It cost him later when we get to 2 Samuel chapter 1, all right? I just don't think I can overemphasize the matter and the business of obedience. And Saul's obedience or disobedience was willful. Willful. Now, there have been a few times that I didn't willfully disobey, but I disobeyed. But it wasn't something I set out to do, you know, on purpose. It's kind of, yeah, I did, and it sort of fell into it. But most of our disobedience is willful. Now, we may not sit down and go, as old Red Skelton used to say in The Mean Little Kid, he said, if I do it, I get a whipping. If I don't do it, I won't get a whipping. I'll do it. All right? And most of ours is not that well thought through. The trouble is we don't think about it. But it's just our willfulness, our doing. I'm going to do my thing. I'm going to do it my way. And willful disobedience, that's what it was. And like many in our day, Saul's problem was he thought he had a better idea. He just thought he had a better idea. His idea was, we're going to save, you know, the best of this flocks and everything. We'll use them for sacrifice, and God will appreciate that. But, man, where in the world did he get that idea? Where in the world did he get that idea? It wasn't from God. Hey, look, obedience to our Lord is the best idea you could ever come up with. He said, preacher, you're not talking to a bunch of kids. I know it. I'm talking to a bunch of adults. Sometimes we act like kids. All right? And we're guilty of it, all right? We're guilty of it. So here he is. Now you say, well, how did this come back to bite him? All right. Now, go there. And you're still in 1 Samuel 15, verse 3. All right. Here we go. Now go and smite who? Amalek. All right. Let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 1. 2 Samuel chapter 1. And just look there and look at verse 13. David said to this fellow, he said, whence art thou? And he answered, I am the son of a stranger, an Amalekite. Now, God had told Saul, you destroy the Amalekites. He didn't do it, and as an Amalekite, it killed him. See, his sin, if you will, came back to bite him. And came back, all right, to get him, because he didn't do what God said. And we look, I guess in this world's day, we'd look at this and people say, well, that's karma. No, that's what God does when you disobey, all right? So here he is. His disobedience came back to get him, all right? His disobedience came back to get him. Now, I want you to focus not on Saul, but I want you to turn your focus to the Amalekite here. Now, here he comes onto the scene in this chapter and comes to David and says, hey, you know, I was down there, and David asked him, how'd the battle go? And he said, well, it's pretty tough. A lot of people were killed. Jonathan and Saul were killed. And David pointedly said, hey, how do you know Saul and Jonathan were killed? Now, this Amalekite never seemed to consider the consequences of his actions against King Saul. It's almost like, you know, just never seemed to consider it at all. But I look upon it, and I read here in verse 6, and I don't know about you, but I read verse 6 where he says, as I happened by chance upon Mount Gilboa. I don't believe there's anything at all by chance about that, all right? But here's a man that presumed to do what he wanted to do without carefully considering what was going on, all right? And like everybody who presumes to act without careful consideration, he had quite a story to justify his action. Notice that quite a story he laid out there. Man, you know, I just happened to be there, and Saul happened to see me and said, hey, you, come over here, all right? And he said, yo, what do you need? And he said, who art thou? And he said, I answered him, well, I'm an Amalekite. And I wonder if Saul thought, oh, man. Reckon that thought ever went through his mind. I don't know if it did or not. I have no idea. But this Amalekite says, then he said, now you come, basically, you come and kill me, all right? I'm not going to survive the wound that I have, but I don't want to let the enemy have the pleasure of killing me, so I want you to do it, all right? And he just, what a story to tell to justify his action. But at the same time, go back with me to 1 Samuel chapter 13. This presumptuousness didn't begin with the Amalekite, okay? 1 Samuel chapter 13. Look at verse 8. And he tarried 7 days. That he is Saul, all right? Saul tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. Now, if you're not familiar with what's going on, Saul was waiting upon Samuel. Samuel was supposed to come and offer a sacrifice, and he had told him, I'll be there in 7 days, you go and you wait. So Saul went, he waited, and the people were scattered, and it says he waited the set time he had been told. And now we get to verse 9. And Saul said, bring hither a burnt offering to me and peace offerings, and he offered the burnt offering. I just want to ask you right now, whose job was that? That's the job of the priest, okay? That was the duty of the priest to offer the sacrifice. But Saul did it. And it came to pass in verse 10 that as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came. And Saul went out to meet him that he might salute him. And Samuel said, what hast thou done? It's amazing the insight that Samuel had. So what have you done? And Saul said, now here we go. He said, what are you going with this? I'm here. I said, when you're presumed to do something and you act presumptuously, you've always got a story to justify it. And that's what we have here. Saul begins to tell, well, listen, I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to do it because I know that's your job and that's your duty, and that's not part of my authority to do that kind of thing. But wait a minute, you got to understand, the people were scattered from me, and I was afraid that, I'd just lose it, and so I forced myself. You see that in verse 12? I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering. Forced myself. Man, it's amazing, when we get out of what we're supposed to be, and we get away from the place we're supposed to be, we assume an ability that we don't have, and we assume a place we don't have. It's amazing how we can justify what we do, all right? And that's exactly what he did. He just went along that. And so here's old Saul, had that same time when he presumed to overstep his place. Now that Amalekite had overstepped his place and killed the king of Israel. But here's Saul, same situation, the same kind of thing, overstepped the restriction had been placed upon him. Both Saul and the Amalekite did everything they could to justify their actions. Can I say this to you? There's no justification for presuming on the goodness and the direction of God. There is no justification. You can't justify your sin. You can't justify your disobedience. The amazing thing is this Amalekite thought that David, I believe, would rejoice over the death of Saul. Maybe even he thought, well, I'm going to get a reward. After all, I brought the crown. Hey, look, this Amalekite knew that David had been crowned king. He knew Saul had been chasing him. He knew those things. And so here he shows up. He's got the crown. He's got the bracelet off of Saul's arm. He said, look, I brought him to you as if, yeah, I know you're the man supposed to be the king. You're the king. And I brought him to you, just want to let you know I took care of him. And I think here he is. He thought, I'll get rewarded. Man, was he ever surprised. I think he was amazed at what he saw. You look there. He had made that announcement. And in verse 11, then David took hold on his clothes and rent them, and likewise all the men that were with him. I can't help but wonder if that Amalekite did not begin to sweat just a little bit. Did not begin to think, man, you know, maybe I ought to see if I can edge out of here. And then he noticed they mourned and wept and fasted until even for Saul and for Jonathan his son. Okay, for the house of Israel, because they were fallen by the sword. Here he is. And then David turns his attention to that Amalekite, all right? And to David, lifting a hand against the Lord's anointed was absolutely unthinkable. If you're familiar with Samuel, 1 Samuel, you know David had several opportunities. He could have easily taken the life of Saul. His men encouraged him to do it. And Saul said, we're not going to touch the Lord's anointed. So we're just not going to do that, all right? Now look, there's instruction for us. You need to be real careful in your relationship with a man of God. You need to be careful. I believe numerous Christians have taken and they've run down the man of God in front of their children. And then later on, they realize, hey, my child, hey, look, you need to go talk to the preacher. Well, why would they do that? They've already seen mom and dad run him down. So now they won't go, all right? You need to be careful of running the man of God down in front of your children, running him down in front of others. What a mistake. You never know when that one who listened to you might need that same man of God. Never know. But you're not going to go, that one's not going to go to him or listen to him because of what you said. Man, God's people need to be real careful. And I don't preach that because I am the pastor. I preach it because it's in the Bible, all right? It's in the Word of God. You just need to be careful about what you say and how you stand against or the man of God. That doesn't mean he's perfect. That doesn't mean he never makes a mistake. Not at all. But you need to be careful how you handle it, okay? You need to be careful how you handle it. But can I say this? I think we'd be wise to be careful how we deal with other people all the time. We need to be careful how we talk about folks. We need to just back off. You know, you might be amazed by that person in the future. So don't be so quick to say things. Now, so here's the problem. Here's the problem. Sometimes life will come back to bite you. You've disobeyed God, and maybe it seemed like, hey, nothing really took place, but it can come back to get you. But maybe you've done the same kind of thing this Amalekite did or Saul did, and you were presumptuous in overstepping what you should have stepped and where you should have stepped as a child of God. You got into God's business, all right? God's business. And when you did, you think, well, nothing happened. Well, wait a minute. You don't know how long it's going to be when that comes back to get you. So how can you fix the problem? There's no reason. I don't want to stand here tonight and preach to you, here's the problem, here's the problem. You're in a mess. See you tomorrow. Or see you Sunday. So how do we fix that problem? First of all, let me say this to you. Don't make the mistakes that Saul and the Amalekite made. Don't do it. You just absolutely determine in your heart that you're going to live in obedience to the Lord. Just make that determination. As I said earlier, it sounds real easy to do. But in the practicality of the doing of it, we wind up fighting a battle, okay? But that's why I say to you, you just make up your mind. You determine, that is what I will do. I'm going to live in obedience to God, all right? If I know what God wants, I'm just going to do what He wants. Whatever it might be, wherever He leads, I'm in, that's what I'm going to do. Now, it sure make a difference as you can go through life. You don't have to keep looking over your shoulder to see if that dog's on your trail, okay? What a good thing to be able to live without that. Good thing. Man, it's good to live without that guilt. Good to live without that guilt. You know, we talk about it at salvation. When you get saved, God, He forgives your sin, all of it. Now, it's all done. It's forgiven. But it doesn't mean if you go out that you can't suffer the consequences from your sin. There's still going to be consequences. And, man, when you're looking over your shoulder all that time, I think about people that you hear about that escaped from jail or escaped from prison, and they were on the loose for years, and then finally they're captured. I can't help but wonder, did they not go through every day worried? You know how you are when you're driving and you see a policeman? You automatically take your foot off the gas pedal. Just, you can't help yourself, you know, all right? It just overcomes you. Why? Because you realize I've done it wrong before. Well, hey, if you can just set out in your heart and your life and determine, I'm going to do what God says, now I'm going to live the way that will please God, it'll keep you from having to look back over your shoulder all the time wondering what's catching up to you, all right? What a better way to live, all right? And by the way, can I just say this? I wrote this down in my notes and I put it in parentheses because I wasn't sure I was going to say it. But I'm going to go ahead and say it. Remember, you never get too old to do something dumb. All right? We never get too old to do something dumb. Don't let that happen to you. Don't let that happen to you. You determine in your heart and your life, look, I'm going to live a life so obedient to God. I'm going to live a life so obedient to Him. You say, okay, preacher, that's all well and good, but wait a minute. What if I've already got that in my background and I've already done some of that? What in the world am I going to do? I'd say this to you. First thing you'll do is get on your face before God and ask for His forgiveness. Just own up to it. Own up to it and say, Lord, here I am and I'm guilty. I'm guilty. I had a kid do something last week in school, and I went to that child the next day and I said, come in here in the office just for a second. And they came in there, and I set them up. I'm bad about doing it, all right? I said, look, are you an honest person? And, yeah. And I said, you wouldn't lie to me no matter what, right? You wouldn't. Oh, no. And then I said, well, did you do this? And I'm so glad that student said, yes, sir. Didn't try to lie out of it. Just owned up to it. Admitted it. Yep, I did that. Hey, best thing you can learn to do is own up to things before God. I guarantee you haven't hidden anything from Him. And it does us good when we meet the Lord and admit it. Lord, here I am. I'm guilty, and I want you to know I'm confessing it, and I'm asking you to forgive me for it, all right? And hey, if you need to do so, if you need to do so, you ought to go to the man of God for forgiveness too. If you've worked to undermine that authority, that position, you ought to own up to it. But look them in the eye. Hey, and hey, it's the best way, not just with the man of God, it's the best way to live your life. If you've done wrong, you need to look somebody in the face and say, look, I'm guilty. I'm sorry. And you say, preacher, that's not easy to do. I know, because I've had to do it. I've had to do it. Don't like doing it, but it's the best way to handle it. It's the best way to deal with that kind of thing. Deal with it, get it out there, put it in the open, admit it. Don't just try to hide and run and hope you don't get caught. Hey, if need be, go and let folks know that you've acted foolishly. Just admit it. Try to make amends any way you can. You know, a lot of times we have trouble because we leave things unaccounted and untended. And it's like leaving an open sore. All right? It's like leaving an open sore. That thing is always going to cause us trouble. All right? If you've got a cut or scrape or something, well, kids at school, if they have something, look, it's red right there. Can I get a Band-Aid? I said, well, it's not bleeding. Yeah, but I think it's close to it. Literally, I've had kids say that to me. I'm pretty sure it's close, you know. Can I get a Band-Aid? Now, they don't need a Band-Aid. But on the other hand, you got folks, you know, you've got a cut, you've got it there, and it may be oozing blood. It may be been around a while. You haven't dealt with it, it's oozing pus. Don't you think it'd be a smart thing to deal with that? A lot better than just leaving it there. Well, listen, we get out and we sin, and especially with other people between folks, and we don't make amends. We don't try to fix it. And what we have is an open wound. An open wound. And it doesn't take very much, just a little touch to bring the pain. Because we don't get it healed up. We need to deal with those things. Deal with them. Man, I know people that have that in families. Maybe siblings, you know. And they go out, they've got an open wound and they refuse to deal with it. And boy, it makes it, you can't be around, you know, around them. They'll think, well, you're taking their side. No, I'm just trying to tell you, you ought to get that thing healed, all right? And there's that open wound that's there. Boy, don't let that take your life and ruin it for week after week and month and many times year after year. Deal with it. Look, if you got something with you, between you and your children, deal with it. Deal with it. Don't just go on and let it go. Let it fester along the way, all right? And many people, the problem is they don't want to humble themselves in that way. But boy, it'll go a long way in making things right if you would. Just go say, yeah, I did it. I was listening to a fellow preach the other day on YouTube, and he was preaching, and he said he was fixing to go away. He's fixing to drive and preach, you know, a revival meeting somewhere close enough where he could just drive back and forth to his house. And he said, before I left, he said, I got in a fight with my wife. He said, we had some harsh words, and I went out of the house on the way. And he said, all of a sudden, I'm driving along, and I realize I'm going to preach on the home. And he said, I know I can't go. He said, I turned around. He said, turn around and came back to the house. He said, I went in and I said, listen, sweetheart, I just want to tell you, I'm sorry. I said, it was all my fault. She said, no, now, it was my fault. I shouldn't have done it. And she said, no, it's my fault. She said, no, it's my fault. He said, you listen to me, woman. I said, it's my fault. But he realized, look, I need to deal with this here before I can go do what God wants me to do somewhere else. Don't allow things. Be willing to humble yourself, all right? Listen, I'll tell you, life can bring a great blessing or it can bring a big burden. It can go either way. And it's up to you and I to how it comes out. Mostly based on the way we conduct ourselves. If we'll conduct ourselves as we should, we can keep things on an even keel. We can keep our relationships good. They have to be worked at sometimes. Now, I didn't say it's magic and solves everything, but man, we can make such a difference in the way our lives come out. If we decide, you know what, I'm not going to live in disobedience to the Word of God. I'm going to do what God's Word says. And I'm not going to be presumptuous enough to think I can overrule what God has said. That's exactly what Saul did when he went in and offered that sacrifice. He was presumptuous in thinking I can do what God said I can't do along somebody else. That's exactly what that Amalekite did when he killed Saul. Just presume I can get away with it. It'll be okay. Or don't live that way. If you do, you're liable to find out life come back to bite you. It bit Saul pretty hard. It took his life. It bit that Amalekite. Took his life. He said, preacher, I guess I ought to start writing out my will. No, it doesn't kill you every time, all right? Doesn't kill you every time. But why even allow it to happen to go through the unpleasantness that it can bring? Don't let that happen to you. Don't let it. You can solve a lot of the problems before they become problems. If we just learn to do what God says and learn to stay within the boundaries God's given us, and deal with the business God's given us to take care of and not go try to take care of somebody else's. I hope I helped you tonight a little bit along the way, all right? Heavenly Father, I pray you'd just help us. Lord, help us see the truth of the Scripture. Lord, none of us are ever going to be a king. We're not going to be a king. And Lord, we won't face the exact situations that Saul or this Amalekite faced. But Lord, we're going to face other situations. We're going to be given the opportunity to disobey you. Lord, would you give us the wisdom and the determination to not let that happen? Lord, help us to be the one that says, nope, I'm going to do what God says. Lord, help us to never think we can presume upon your goodness and the direction you've given us. And we can overthrow that and say, no, I'll do what I want. Lord, help us not to do that. Give us wisdom. And Lord, if we've done wrong, help us to have wisdom how to make it right. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's good to have you tonight. May the Lord bless you.